I am Platt on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. David Berner joins me again, the host of the aptly titled program, David Berner, on Shaw Community Channel 4, joins me to talk about Saturday's municipal election and more. The website is at davidberner.com. Please welcome back to the Platt on the Line program, David Berner.
Hello, good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Mr. Berner.
Great to talk to you, as always.
The same. And I guess Friday, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm 106.
You don't look a day over 105.
Thank you.
This election campaign, we'll start with that, and then we'll chat after. I guess a big issue in this campaign is Occupy Vancouver. It seems to be dominating the headlines and the news stories and the sort. How do you think the candidates for mayor have handled the issue?
Well, I asked Suzanne Anton, was a guest on my program. We taped it last Thursday, and it'll run all this week leading up to the election. And I asked her why she jumped on this so quickly, and she was pretty adamant about, these situations always lead to bad and worse situations. Once they're tents, it's bad and it gets worse. And, I said, well, what if they didn't do tents? What if they showed up every morning at 8 and left every night at 10? And she said that would be different. But I like Suzanne, and I'd like to see her have a chance at winning this election, but I don't agree with her on that. I wouldn't have jumped all over it. I thought it was a somewhat callous political ploy. It's even worse if she really believes what she says. I don't like Gregor very much as a mayor or even as a person, but I don't dislike him. I thought he's handled it in his waffly, puppety sort of way. I thought he's handled it reasonably well. It's sort of a let's wait and see. Let's not, send the patient out for 20 prescriptions and 42 procedures. Let's just do watchful waiting. And I think that was a reasonable approach.
Would you have, not that you would have run for mayor or anything like that, but would you have had them there in the first place?
that I've been asked two or three times to run for mayor, but I wouldn't. Yeah. Would I have had them there in the first place?
Yeah.
Why not? Absolutely. This is a very complicated story, but I'll try and give you my simpleton reaction. The whole Occupy movement is about something real and important. It is about a shocking, glaring disparity between the haves and the have-nots. It's obscene that CEOs of Lehman Brothers and Goldman and Sachs and AIG and all kinds of people can have their companies lose 45% of their market value and take home $600 million in personal bonuses this year each. That's an obscenity. There's something sick about that, especially when the rest of the country is struggling so much. So Occupy is about something, but there are built-in problems. The first problem is there's no practical focus. There's no political message other than this broad, diffuse anger about the 1%. Well, having said, once you say that, now what do? Are you going after legislation? Are you going to ask state houses or the Washington government to do something? Are you going to ask Canadian Parliament to do something? I haven't heard anything from the Occupy folks about specific movement, specific action, and until they can focus on a specific action, it can't hold water, it can't go any further. And then, like all institutions, whether Judaism, Christianity, marriage, public education, so on, all institutions get polluted and prostituted once we messy human beings get into them. Occupy, before you know it, it starts off, there's some people with this a good, important social message, and then the next thing there's drug addicts and party people and people with nothing else to do, and this is fun, and they can be outrageous and scream and yell and be downtown and so on. So what are you going to do? Nobody asks for your entry qualifications. you know, anybody who shows up is welcome. So then it becomes a big mess. It's unfortunate because the message is about something significant, and I think that a lot of the media have been cruel and ignorant and single-minded in their response. You know, a lot of the media have been donkeys for corporate Canada and corporate America.
And isn't it unfortunate that there are sort of legitimate issues that need to be discussed that aren't, because this seems to be the dominant issue on newscasts and
newspapers. Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, it's easy to focus on this garbage and somebody died of an overdose and you know, there are rats. Well, guess what? There are rats in Ottawa, Victoria, and the 12th and Canby. Mm-hmm. There are rats everywhere.
Vision's performance over the last 3 years, you've already said that you don't really like the mayor. What do you think of some of the other people that are running with him?
Well, I think, you know, Vision as a whole, you know, they haven't done anything really terrible. I find a lot, and they've tried very hard on certain files like housing and protecting women in the downtown east side. I don't think they've succeeded a lot. But in general, I have a resistance to Vision because they are a kind of puppet government. They're really managed by some very large backers who have a social ideological agenda in which they're determined in a kind of fascistic way to improve my life according to their style. You know, whether it's, you know, no smoking or no drinking, and not that I'm a champion for either of those things, but you know, they have a certain agenda. It's people associated with the Tides Foundation in America, and a lot of the money has come from people from America. They seem to be interchangeable, and they are very wealthy and they're very powerful, but they have this, it's the first time a political party in my memory has really had the correct name. They do have a vision. It's just not mine. It's not horrible. I just find it creepy, and I wish they were more forthcoming about who they were. I don't think that the mayor himself is much of anything. I think of him as a puppet of his backers and his handlers. I sat next to him at a panel long before he was mayor, and I thought he was a bit dull. I thought he wasn't very well spoken, and he was indecisive and uninformed. He didn't have the information. So he's probably a pleasant fellow, and he's, you know, a handsome boy, and everybody thinks he's darling. But he does nothing for me, and I don't think he's very intellectually rigorous. I wouldn't throw Jeff Meggs out of office. I've known Jeff for a long time. He's a solid guy. He works hard. There are other people that I have no regard for whatsoever.
Like?
Sorry?
Like who?
Well, I had a dreadful incident when they were running originally, and I was hosting debates between Robertson and Ladner at the library. And I had a man who became a counselor, who allegedly is a psychiatrist, Kerry Jang, who's now a city counselor, blow up at me twice in one afternoon. I mean, he started ranting and raving from the floor because I questioned something. And then when the whole event was over, I was just standing there talking to people, and he stood a few feet away from me, glaring at me. And so I noticed him glaring at me. I mean, glaring like shooting daggers. And I said, "Yes, what's the problem?" And he started yelling at me, "I know who you are!" I said, "You don't know anything about me. Get lost." Mm-hmm. This guy, you know, has been given the housing file, and I think he's worked hard on it. I'm just not sure that he knows what he's doing or that I agree with what he thinks he's doing. I don't know what the others have done. What has Andrea Reimer done? I don't know. One of the things about Vision is that they are very carefully managed. Have you noticed that after two terms of hearing quite often from Raymond Loewy, for example. We've heard nothing from him in 3 years. Why is that? Well, that's because he's been told to shut up. And so has almost everybody else. And when you see, as I have in recent weeks, the mayor speaking to media scrums, and behind him you see Tim Robertson and Raymond and others staring worshipfully and hanging on every word of this rather dull guy, this mayor. There's something creepy about this, you know. It's what is he, the second coming? You know, it's very weird. So, anyways, I'm not a huge fan. By the way, I think they will, you know, if not, I'm not sure they'll win all the seats that they did this round, this past round, but one. They may lose a couple of seats. The problem is that Suzanne Anton's team is kind of weak, and she hasn't given us a lot of names, and those names are, it's all Suzanne Anton.
Yeah.
You know, we can barely notice that Elizabeth Ball, who was a counselor the previous term, is returning. And who are these other people, you know? I mean, they don't have a lot of big name recognition. I think that there's no question in my mind, I know this for a fact, and I experienced it in the last election, vision is unbelievably manicured. It is so well organized. It has a militia-like precision. They've got tons of people manning the phones. They've got tons of people busing people around. They've got lots of money, and the NPA just doesn't have the kind of huge vault that it used to have in the past. I mean, for many years, NPA owned Vancouver City Council.
Yeah.
But it a lot of people have jumped ship.
The you mentioned that you think that they'll retain their majority on council. Do you think it'll be a mixed council with, say, some independents? We were hearing about a lot of these sort of independents, like Adrian Carr, Sandy Garasino, and the sort.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah. That can happen, and I will vote for a couple of the independents. Okay. You know, yeah, I think we may get some independents, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a perfectly good thing. You know, I would like to see. I mean, this is, look, you have to keep in mind where we are. We're in the most polarized province, I think, in the country. You know, at the provincial level, we've had this extreme left and extreme right. I've been in the city for 45 years, and that's the only thing I remember. I don't remember that we've ever had anything approaching some sort of reasonable balance where people might work together. It's just the total adversarial kind of approach, and I think Vancouver City Hall has been much like that. We've had more of a mix at the city level, but it would be nice to have a few different voices.
Yeah. What's coming up on the show, David?
Oh, my God, I have to run to my computer. I know that tomorrow I'm having a conversation with Lance Borowitz, the author of Dream City, to talk about what kind of a city should this be, which I think is an appropriate conversation as we go into this election, you know. And as the economy of the world changes. I mean, that's, by the way, before I go on with the show, I think that's the first question I asked Suzanne Anton, and I think she had trouble with this, and I don't see vision addressing this either. I think a huge big elephant that neither party is tackling, I'll come back to what's on the show in a second,
yeah,
is Greece and Italy, is the EU. The EU is on its collective ass, and we are facing a monetary crisis the likes of which I don't think we've seen before, and if the geniuses in Europe don't figure this out, we might see a worldwide economic collapse. Meanwhile, Canada likes to think that it is immune, that we are, we live in this perfect little bubble. Well, even Flaherty, the finance minister, got up in Calgary a couple weeks ago and said, folks, the deficit reduction, which I predicted for, you know, to be in great shape by 2014, I'm sorry, I have to change my forecast to about 2016. In other words, how about 2020 or never, mm-hmm. you know? So I asked Suzanne Anton, and I would ask, you know, Vision, what's your plan? What are we doing to shore up the dikes here in case we have some real, real serious monetary problems with City Hall? And I don't think anybody's addressed that. I think we operate as if, you know, we live in this perfect bubble and we're going to be protected by the continual flow of Asian investment, which in itself is a big discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great to have Asian investment, but it would help if sometimes Asian investors had some sense of what country they're investing in. Little Mountain is a perfect example where the major investor, 200 and whatever 30 families have been pushed out of Little Mountain while this property is being redeveloped, and the guy with the money behind it, who comes from Asia, says he wants to build 16 towers at 30th and Main. Mm-hmm. Hello? You know, that's not showing a lot of sensitivity to local culture. You know, go ahead, build something, make some money, but that guy wants to pull a Terry Hoy and do another Concord at 30th and Main in a relatively quiet neighborhood, you know? Anyway, so what's on the show? I have to think. Oh, yeah. Next week, Susan Lambert from the BC Teachers Federation, and I want to ask her, by the way, mm-hmm. she was supposed to be on the show 2 weeks ago and actually didn't show up.
Really?
Yes, the first time in 40 years I've ever had a guest not show up. Huh. And when I phoned them, they were, like, baffled. Anyway, so she's booked for the 24th, and my major question to her will be, will there ever be a moment in my lifetime that the BC Teachers Federation is not fighting with the provincial government, regardless of who's in power?
Right.
I would just like to have, you know, see if the Teachers Federation could concentrate on their main job, which is, you know, making sure that teachers have pensions and are taken care of and so on, and stop trying to run education in this province.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of them coming up, and I'm sorry, off the top of my head, I can't remember everybody.
And they can check that out at davidburner.com, right? And
absolutely.
The
yes.
shows are on YouTube and the sort.
Yes.
I would direct people to your website, davidburner.com, which I just mentioned. There's a blog post there on you posted on Wednesday. You turn, as I said, 69 on Friday.
Yeah.
And just reflecting on it. It's a great piece, David. It's warm, it's sentimental, and I also got a sense it was kind of melancholy, and that sort of...
Yeah, it's a bit melancholy, but that's who I am. You know, I'm a guy who laughs a lot, but I am melancholy. Melancholy is a kind of affliction. You know, it's an affliction of egotism. You know, it's I used to have a sign up in my study in my old house that said that something, I can't remember exact words, but melancholy is an act of vanity. You know,
yeah.
It's an act of self referral, and so. What can I do? That's who I am. I'm narcissistic.
It's good to talk again, David. Thanks for this, and happy birthday again.
Thanks, Joseph.
DavidBurner.com is a website. The show is on Shaw. It's repeated regularly on Channel 4 here in Vancouver. You can also see that, as I said, on YouTube. And also, David's got clips on his website, DavidBurner.com. David Burner on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.